This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Normally, it's on a Saturday night when you see me and you hear me and we're doing the stories about the news of the day and all of the rigmarole of American life, and we try to poke a little fun at it and we try to have a little bit of levity on a Saturday evening. But tonight, we're at Silent Saturday, which is a very significant day in the Holy Weekend because it falls between the cross of Good Friday and the resurrection of Sunday morning. So tonight we present a special presentation here at Radio Night Live called Heaven So Near So Far. It tells the ubiquitous story of Judas Iscariot. It's read by actor Tyler Weeks, and we hope you enjoy this very special presentation on Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough. Here's Heaven So Near So Far.
Chapter 1. Ambition. From my earliest days, I wanted people to know who I was. Thousands of people live and die without being celebrated or remembered. I hated that. I didn't want to be one of them. I was ambitious. I wanted to make a name for myself. Yet, apart from an aptitude for numbers, the uncanny ability to calculate loans, debts, interest, and repayments, I did not possess any extraordinary gifts or talents. Intuitively, I realized that I needed to attach myself to something or someone. I needed to find a cause that would propel me, a movement that would be the making of me. I thought I might have found it when at the age of 29 I first heard rumors about an eccentric prophet who was preaching in the desert. I was curious about him, and so I decided to go and see this John the Baptist for myself. He was dressed in camel's hair, and he lived for long stretches in the desert on a diet of locusts and honey. I remember, his message was simple. Something that has never happened before in human history is about to take place. The Lord is coming. People who heard him realized that if they were going to meet God, they had better do some confessing and repenting first. And John the Baptist had a way in which they could respond to his message. A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. I had thought that John might be someone I could follow, but he was pointing to someone else. Whoever this person was, I wanted to meet him. It wasn't long before I did. It was when I was with the crowds in the desert that I caught my first glimpse of Jesus. John was preaching as on any other day when he saw someone coming toward him. He stopped, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." When John identified this Jesus as the Lamb of God, he was saying that Jesus would be the substitute who would die in the place of others, and that he would be the sacrifice whose blood would be shed for the protection of his people. This I understood. But it was what John said next that really got my attention. "This is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." Holy Spirit. Something big was happening, and I wanted to be a part of it. John had said that God's reign and rule on earth was at hand. He had called people to prepare themselves by getting ready for the coming of the Lord. Now, he was pointing to Jesus and announcing that he had the ability to drench others in the power of the Holy Spirit. If even a small part of this was true, the opportunity would be enormous. This was the moment I had been waiting for. Teaching is never easy with the distraction of a large and restless crowd, and on this occasion the chaos reached another level. While Jesus was speaking, I heard a noise above us, and guessed people had clambered up onto the roof. How many were there, I wondered? And how long would the roof hold up? Dirt began to fall from the ceiling, and then more until a hole opened up, and looking up, I could see four men had dug through the roof with their hands. Then, to the astonishment of everyone in the room, they lowered a paralyzed man laying on his bed and delivered him right in front of Jesus. Now that's ingenuity, I thought. Here are people who are committed, determined, and resolved. People who know what they want and will do whatever it takes to overcome all that stands in their way. But the words that Jesus spoke to the paralyzed man were not what I had expected. "Son," he said, "your sins are forgiven." Why did he say that? I wondered. Forgiveness of sins is important, but it wasn't the man's most obvious need. It seemed as if to Jesus, being forgiven by God mattered more than the ability to stand up and walk. I'm not the only one who questioned this. People all around the room became unsettled. They looked at Jesus as if to say, "Is that it? What about the fact that this man can't walk?" Others were offended that Jesus had pronounced the man's sins forgiven. Sins, by definition, are offenses committed against God, and God alone has the right and the authority to forgive them. But Jesus must have known this. He told the people that he wanted them to know he had the authority to forgive sins, and for that reason, he said to the paralyzed man, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." When the man did what Jesus said, the whole crowd was amazed, and I remember thinking, "Never in my entire life have I seen anything close to this." Whoever Jesus was, his ministry was taking off. And knowing that John had attracted huge crowds in the desert with his plain call to repentance, I figured there was no limit to what Jesus could do, propelled by his miraculous power. I was ambitious. I had no interest in attaching myself to an obscure cause destined to failure, but I felt that in Jesus I had found a winner. I became more determined than ever to find my way into his inner circle. One day we got word that after a whole night alone on the hillside praying to his Father, Jesus was ready to choose the disciples who would share most intimately in his life and ministry. Word spread among his friends, and all of us made our way to join him on the mountain. He told us that he would appoint 12, and that their calling would be first to be with him, second to preach, and third to cast out demons. Knowing that a life-shaping moment had come, we were all silent as we waited to hear who he had chosen. Looking at the crowd in front of him, Jesus began calling out names. "Simon, Peter, and Andrew," he said, prompting the brothers who first followed Jesus to step forward from the crowd. "James and John," he continued, selecting the brothers he referred to as sons of thunder. "Philip and Bartholomew." So far, no surprises. Bartholomew I had first known as Nathanael, and he, like the others, had been with Jesus from the beginning. 6 of the 12 had been chosen. 6 more spots remained. Matthew. Now that was a surprise. Matthew was a tax collector, which meant that he had sold out to the Romans, lining his pockets at the expense of his own people. Hardly a popular choice, nor, as I saw it, a wise one. Why would Jesus trust himself to a man who had broken faith with his own people? Matthew was, to my mind, the kind of man who could easily turn out to be a traitor. Thomas. Another strange choice, I thought. This man had followed Jesus faithfully, but he also asked a lot of questions. There was a certain hesitation about him. I wondered if he would be able to overcome his many doubts. James, the son of Alphaeus. I had never heard of him, and frankly, was never sure why he was chosen. Simon the Zealot. Now that was a risky choice. Simon was known as the Zealot because of his involvement in radical politics. Seeing him stand with the other 9, I wondered how it would be possible for Simon and Matthew to get along, given their histories on opposite side of the political divide. Only 2 spots remained, and the tension was becoming unbearable. Then he called out my name, Judas. But he wasn't looking at me. He was beckoning Thaddeus, who brought all kinds of confusion because he was known by three names, Judas, Thaddeus, and Levius. One spot left. God, please let it be me. Jesus paused. And then, looking directly at me with intensity and compassion in his eyes, he said, Judas Iscariot. I was in.
He was in Judas Iscariot, the first chapter, called Ambition of Heaven So Near So Far. It's a book written by Colin S. Smith, and we are pleased to be able to present it to you tonight on Radio Night Live on this special holiday weekend, Holy Weekend edition. Kevin McCullough is my name. Normally we're talking about the news of the day and the week, but tonight we just hope you enjoy this very special presentation brought to you by our friends at unlockingthebible.org. We're back with more right after this.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Are you living your passion? Are you pumped to go to work because you get to talk about or work with or do the things that interest you the most? Is working, playing, and relaxing one and the same? As long as you're working for someone else, you'll never be living entirely true to yourself and your passion. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Let me show you how you can work around your current schedule, create the extra income so you can live your passion. Visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com. radio.recordedvideo.com.
Welcome back to New York, the home of Radio Night Live, where normally we're coming to you and talking about the news of the week and talking about how it relates to your life and trying to have some fun with it. We'll return with our normal show next week, but we have an opportunity to present a very special presentation called Heaven So Near, So Far, telling the story of Judas Iscariot from the pages of Scriptures. And here's chapter 2, where Tyler Weeks, as portraying the Judas character, talks about the mission that this unique disciple of Jesus had.
Chapter 2. Mission. Being in the inner circle gave me a unique insight into Jesus. From the earliest days, it was clear to me that he was pursuing two strategies at the same time. The first was to reach the mass of people, bringing hope through his miracles and wisdom through his teaching. The second, and arguably the more important, was to train his inner circle. This was a shrewd decision, and without it, what transpired in his name would never have taken place. His approach to training was simple. He brought us with him to watch, took us aside to learn, and sent us out to do. Jesus often taught us through stories, or parables, as he called them. Simple stories that left a lasting impression. Listening to the end of Jesus' story, where he described the abundant harvest, I said to Thomas, "That's me. I want to see a 100-fold return on all that I'm investing into this enterprise." Speaking of strange things, Jesus said, one that stuck in my mind was when he told us, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." He seemed to suggest that some who had spoken truth in his name and others who had driven out demons in his name might, in the end, not enter the heaven they had proclaimed to others. The idea that someone blessed with the power to cast out demons in the name of Jesus would not be known by him made no sense to me. But since Jesus knew the 12 of us by name, how could these disturbing words apply to any of us? It was hard for me to imagine how anyone could be involved in ministry and not be known by Jesus. But those words stayed with me. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Bad news for some, but since we were clearly doing God's work, and doing it with Jesus himself, I figured I was good. From the beginning, Jesus made it clear that he was training us for ministry, and part of that training was to send us on a mission. Jesus told us he was giving us authority over demons and power to cure sickness, and that he was sending us out to proclaim the kingdom of God. None of us had ever preached before, but having listened first to John the Baptist and then to the preaching of Jesus, I felt that I was ready to give it a try. The scope of our mission was limited to the area immediately around Galilee. My approach was simple. When I arrived in a village, I made it known that I was an apostle of Jesus, which immediately created interest. Word about Jesus had spread widely, and coming in his name guaranteed an audience. Once my presence in a village was known, people brought the sick to me, just as they had brought the sick to Jesus. I anointed them with oil, and to my surprise, saw many of them healed. Then there were people so possessed by the power of evil that they were unable to resist the compulsive behaviors to which these powers drove them. When they came for help, I commanded these evil spirits to depart, and to my joy, they left. I finished by calling people to repent, much as John the Baptist had done, and with similar results. The whole experience of that mission trip was exhilarating. And when we gathered to give our reports to Jesus, I found that the others had felt the same. God had been working, and he had been working through us. All of us were in high spirits. We felt that all things were possible. But despite the power of his miracles, the wisdom of his teaching, and the success of our mission, there were things about Jesus that caused me concern, and over time, made me increasingly uncomfortable. Chapter 3. Frustration. It bothered me that when the 12 apostles were listed, I was always the last to be named. But I took comfort from something Jesus said about the last being first and the first being last. If that turned out to be true, it would be bad news for Peter and good news for me. Given my position at the end of the line, I was always looking out for ways to advance my cause. And given my ability with numbers, it seemed natural that I should offer to serve as treasurer for our ministry. Accounting is not glamorous work, but I knew its importance. Holding the purse strings would give me a certain power over the others. I saw this as an opportunity not to be missed. There were 13 of us on the road, and from time to time others joined us, expanding our group and increasing our costs. None of us was paid, but we all had to eat. And as treasurer, I saw it as my responsibility to make sure that we would never run out of funds. I was always looking to attract the kind of people who could help bring our ministry to a broader audience. However, to my growing frustration, Jesus had a habit of letting our best opportunities slip away. Money often came up in the teaching of Jesus. I had always thought of money as a friend, but Jesus taught us that money has power. He spoke about money as a master, as if it were a rival god seeking to make you its servant and to take control of your life. No man can serve two masters, Jesus said. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Money is like fire, a good friend and a terrible enemy. Kept in its place, it has the power to sustain you. But when it takes control, it has the power to destroy you. Believe me, I know. Money became my master, and it wants to become yours. It is a power. And unless that power is brought into submission, it will run and rule your life. Often when our crowds were growing, Jesus would speak in a way that was obscure, or sometimes even offensive. People who might easily have been drawn in were alienated and left us instead. The worst example of this happened at what I thought was our supreme moment of opportunity. That astonishing occasion when Jesus fed over 5,000 people by multiplying the loaves and the fish,
which was just one of the many miracles that Judas saw Jesus perform while he was here. Kevin McCullough welcoming you back to Radio Night Live. It is a very special edition this Saturday evening where we present the story of Judas Iscariot. He's a ubiquitous historical character. You may remember a few years ago we did a similar presentation of a book called Heaven, How I Got Here, told the story of the thief on the cross. It's really interesting if you think of these two historical characters, because one started as far away from God as possible and ended up in heaven on the same day he was crucified next to Jesus for burglary and murder. Likewise, this disciple of Jesus ends up in a very different place. We'll tell the story as we continue on Radio Night Live. We are live from New York and happy to have you with us. I'm Kevin McCullough. Hi, Kevin McCullough.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Over the last 4 years, three of the biggest online precious metal dealers have gone bankrupt and their owners put in prison due to theft and fraud. Having previously purchased precious metals, can you be sure you purchased the right product? Did you receive proper advice? Or were you stung by one of these companies? Miles Franklin has been in business for 29 years without receiving any material customer or regulatory complaints ever. maintaining an A+ Better Business Bureau rating, and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice, bar none. Call us at 866-485-4346 and let us review your portfolio at no commitment whatsoever. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Get the peace of mind you deserve in working with a precious metals company with a reputation like Miles Franklin. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Precious Metals, the name you can trust.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, June 1st through the 4th for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, and UFO sightings. More than 100 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, Linda Moulton-Howe, Eric Von Doniken, Corey Good, Doc Wallach, and more. Get tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough, and welcome back to Radio Night Live, live from New York, as we are every Saturday. A special edition of the broadcast on this holy weekend as we present the production, Heaven So Near So Far, telling the ubiquitous story of Judas Iscariot. We continue with Chapter 3, a chapter called Frustration.
The following day, when word got around that we were back in Capernaum, many who had been fed in the desert arrived, looking for more. The words Jesus spoke to them were hard to understand. "I am the bread of life," he said. "Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Then he accused them of not believing, which surprised me first because they had made the effort to come and hear him, and second, because even if it was true, such a direct approach was hardly the way to win their favor. Not surprisingly, the crowd became restless, but Jesus just kept going. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Well, that was hardly a message that would win friends and influence people, but then it got worse. Jesus said, Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. People found this offensive. But Jesus insisted that the reason they found it hard to hear was that although they had professed to be his disciples, some of them did not believe. It was as if Jesus was sifting the crowd, intentionally sorting out those who had really submitted to his authority from those who had been merely caught up in the crowd of his followers. Well, if Jesus was trying to lose his crowd, he certainly was successful. Many who had been with us turned back, and Jesus just let them go. I was devastated. For so long, we had been working to build a mass movement. We had been blessed with great success, and now in a single day, so many people who had joined us were gone. The 12 of us looked at each other in stunned silence. How could Jesus lose so many people? Then he asked us, "Do you want to go away as well?" Peter spoke up first. "Lord, to whom shall we go?" he asked. "You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." It was a ringing endorsement and affirmation of Jesus, but I wasn't sure if Peter was speaking for all of us. What was Thomas thinking, I wondered. Then Jesus said something quite extraordinary. "Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil." At the time, this made no sense to me at all. How could one of us be a devil? We were Jesus' disciples. We had left everything to follow him. We were the ones who had been casting out demons. What could the devil have to do with any of us? Jesus had never said anything remotely like this before. He had known from the beginning that someone would betray him. He did not say who this would be, but he made it clear that one of us in his inner circle had thoughts of desertion and was capable even of treachery. Despite all my doubts and frustrations, it never occurred to me that I might be the one. Chapter 4. Objection. We were out in the sticks east of Jordan when Jesus received word that one of his closest friends had become ill. The friend's name was Lazarus, and the cry for help was sent out by his sisters, Martha and Mary. By the time we arrived, Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Martha came out to meet us first. "Lord," she said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus assured her that her brother would rise again. Martha agreed. Then Mary came out to meet Jesus, and she fell down weeping at his feet. Jesus was deeply moved and began to weep himself. Then he asked about the tomb. Lazarus had been buried in a cave with a stone set in front of it. Jesus told the mourners to take away the stone. Before we knew it, the stone had been removed, and Jesus was shouting in a loud, commanding voice, "Lazarus, come out!" To my complete amazement, Lazarus came out. This miracle exceeded everything else that Jesus had ever done.
Truly a spellbinding moment in the ministry of Jesus on earth. And for those of us that don't necessarily buy into everything that we hear from religious people, certainly, in his day, something to be considered most seriously. Kevin McCullough, Radio Night Live. We continue with the story of Judas next.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join One Way today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Radio Night Live, Kevin McCullough, live from New York, as we are every Saturday. But tonight, a very special presentation of a production called Heaven So Near So Far. My friends at a group called Unlocking the Bible, which is a group in the Chicago area, are the ones that have produced this. And it is the telling of the ubiquitous story of Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus in the Holy Weekend that took his life and eventually led to his resurrection. We celebrate that tomorrow in many churches across the world, but tonight it's usually just known as Silent Saturday. So we're picking up on the story of Judas and the resurrection of Lazarus.
We celebrated with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, a man who had been in the grave but now reclined next to Jesus and engaged in animated conversation with his friends. I noticed Mary's eyes moving from Jesus to her brother, and from her brother back to Jesus. Having gone through the agony of losing Lazarus, she had experienced the love and comfort of Jesus, standing with her in her sorrow, and then she had witnessed a glorious demonstration of Christ's power in which her brother had been restored to life and given back to her. It didn't surprise me that Mary wanted to express her love and gratitude to Jesus. But what she did next brought me to a moment of clarity that would propel me onto a new and deadly path. Mary brought out a large flask of perfume. My eyes widened as I recognized its value. The equivalent of an entire year's wages. I had no idea that we had an asset like this in our group. And if Mary was ready to give it up, it was the kind of gift that would really make a difference. Mary approached Jesus, opened the bottle, and started to pour the perfume over his head. I had no problem with Mary anointing the head of Jesus with this perfume as a sign of her devotion. The problem was that she kept pouring. The perfume was about a pint in volume, and as Mary poured it out, it ran over Jesus' shoulder, soaked into his robe, and dripped down onto his feet. When the last drop fell from the bottle, Mary knelt before Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. What a waste! The extravagance of her gesture left me cold. It seemed like fanaticism to me, and a complete misuse of a valuable asset. Something needed to be said. I needed to express my strong objection. And so as Mary moved away from the feet of Jesus, I took her aside. What in the world do you think you're doing? Do you have any idea how much that perfume was worth? It would take me a year to earn enough money to buy that, and in a single, reckless moment, you have just blown the whole lot. Mary replied, Judas, you don't know much about love. To you, the cost of the perfume made what I did wrong. To me, the cost of the perfume made what I did right. I wasn't the only one who thought Mary's act of devotion was excessive. Several of the others spoke up in support of me, saying that what Mary had done was a waste. They were right, and I had nothing but contempt for what she had done. In my frustration, I took the moral high ground and asked, why was this ointment not sold and the money given to the poor? Looking back, I don't know why I brought the needs of the poor into the conversation. If I had been responsible for the money that could have been gained from the sale of the perfume, I certainly would not have given it to the poor. That would have been as wasteful as pouring the perfume over Jesus. The trouble with taking a stand is that you expose yourself as a target. And John used this against me. Judas, you are not saying this because you care about the poor, he said. You are saying this because you are a thief. We trusted you with our common purse, and you have been helping yourself to the money. The reason you want the perfume sold is so that you can get your hands on it. It was an outrageous accusation, and I knew he had no proof. I'll admit, from time to time, I would borrow from the bag, but always with the intent of returning what I had taken. Jesus came to Mary's defense. Leave her alone, he said. She has done a beautiful thing to me. Then, looking directly at me, Jesus said, You always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. There was no doubting the rebuke. Jesus had been clear in his teaching about giving to the poor, and he did not contradict what I had said about its importance. His point was that I had failed to discern the unique significance of the moment in which we all found ourselves. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial, he said. When Jesus spoke about his burial, the mood among the disciples changed. At first, They agreed with me in my outrage at the waste, but now they repositioned themselves in the light of Jesus' words. The moment of tension passed, and the celebration resumed. But not for me. I looked on at the joy of the others as if I were watching through a window from the outside. There had been a profound change since the sunny days when the 12 of us committed ourselves to Jesus. I had seen great potential in the crowds we had drawn, an extraordinary resource in the ability of Jesus to perform miracles at will, and a unique opportunity in the ministry we had built. But ever since we set out on that long journey to Jerusalem, Jesus seemed to be absorbed in contemplating something quite different. He spoke about giving his life as a ransom for many. He repeatedly said that the Son of Man must be killed, and told us that if we wanted to follow him, each of us must be ready to take up a cross of our own. This gloomy talk did not appeal to me. And the more I heard it, the more uncomfortable I became.
There was actually much about Jesus' life that Judas was about to become very uncomfortable with, and so much so that he would be driven to a decision that might be irrevocable. Or would it be? See, that's the story that is really within the story of Judas Iscariot and of Jesus Christ as a person. And so as we're going through this from this historical first-person perspective, Pastor Colin S. Smith wants to make sure you know the context of all that is there, and that's why he's offering this book and this audiobook version if you go to unlockingthebible.org and get a copy for yourself. We are airing an abridged version that leaves in all the most important parts, but still doesn't have time for every last bit. You can order that at unlockingthebible.org, and we hope you will.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you retired or facing retirement and you're afraid your income is going to be less than you'd like? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and I want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current schedule, creating extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusades, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Welcome back to Radio Night Live, final segment of this first hour, hour number two, and the conclusion of the story of Judas Iscariot, heaven so near so far, on the way in the next hour. And we're grateful that it is being brought to you tonight in partnership with MyPillow.com. Get four pillows for the price of just two. Balance of Nature, still willing to give you 2 months off when you dial 1-800-246-8751. Two free months when you call. And, of course, Landmark Capital with the Financial Survival Guide for 2018. All of that helping to provide heaven so near so far. And now we turn to the final few bits of chapter 4, simply called Objection, in the story of Jesus. On Radio Night Live, I'm Kevin McCullough.
If Jesus wanted to lay down his life, that was for him. But I had no interest in laying down mine. I was interested in building a future. I had followed Jesus with this in view, but after 3 years, our ministry seemed increasingly like a tale of missed opportunities. What had come of it? Jesus repeatedly failed to make the pragmatic choices to build a mass movement. The result, which I as treasurer saw all too plainly, was that after 3 years our shared purse was no greater than it had been at the beginning. Beyond that, the tide was turning against Jesus. The raising of Lazarus may have been Jesus' greatest work, but it was also the trigger that brought hostility toward him to an entirely new level. With so many witnesses to Lazarus' death and burial, and the evidence of his resurrection available to anyone visiting Bethany, many came to believe in Jesus as a result. But that caused consternation in Jerusalem and led to the authorities renewing and intensifying the resolve that Jesus should be put to death. With this in view, the chief priests gave orders that if anyone knew where Jesus was, they should inform the authorities so that they might arrest him. This put me in immediate danger. Under the new order, simply being with Jesus would be enough to indict me on a charge of obstructing justice, withholding information vital to an investigation, and aiding and abetting a known criminal. I'd become a follower of Jesus in the hope that this would be to my advantage. But it was now abundantly clear that I needed to reconsider what was in my best interests. For some time, I had a growing suspicion that I might be more at home in the company of Jesus' enemies than I was in the circle of his friends. The waste of the perfume at Bethany turned that thought into a settled conviction. It was time to move on.
And Judas would indeed move on. We hope you'll stay with us in hour two tonight as the story concludes. It's called Heaven So Near So Far, the story of Judas Iscariot. Unlocking the Bible, the producers of this special presentation. And it is kind of a follow-up to a presentation they did a few years ago called Heaven, How I Got Here. It was the telling of the story of the thief on the cross. My former Saturday night radio partner back then, Stephen Baldwin, the actor in that production, and I was honored to be the executive producer of that. This is a bit of the sequel, and it tells kind of the opposite story. The story of the thief tells of one who starts life far from God and ends up spending eternity with him. Judas spends much of his life with Jesus and ends up very far from God for eternity. So what does that mean to us? Well, stay with us because the story of Judas continues in hour number two tonight on Radio Night Live. I'm Kevin McCullough. We're coming to you live from New York and so glad you can be with us on this holy weekend.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place.
and what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.